Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Ruth, the first chapter, beginning our reading in verse 19, the King James Version. But before we start today, I would be remiss to say, if I didn't say, what an honor and privilege it is to be home, to have been home for about a week now. We've had a great time, and so good today to see so many friendly faces and family. And we are honored to be here today, and I am excited to see what the Lord is going to do here in the next few moments of time. Amen. Ruth chapter 1, verse 19, if you've got it in your Bible, say amen. If you're looking at the screens and you're cheating, you can say amen. Ruth 1, verse 19 says, "So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty, for God, hath dealt with me very bitterly. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why are you calling me Naomi, seeing that the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" In verse 22, "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest." I want to speak to you for a few moments this morning from this simple thought: the danger of giving up too soon. The danger of giving up too soon. And I want to talk to you about this woman called Naomi, who said no longer was her name Naomi, but it was Mara. And I want to deal with the fact that God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how far from the cross that you've strayed. God is an ever-present help wherever you are. So for this morning, I want you to lay your Bibles down, your iPads down, and lift your hands to heaven. Close your eyes and ask the Spirit of God that He would absolutely minister to us, that He would speak life to us this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We give you thanks this morning, God. We don't take this precious moment for granted. But God, in this precious moment, we ask you to open our understanding, give us divine revelation, and speak life to us today, oh God. We ask in the name that is above every other name, in the name that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess, in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Somebody clap your hands all across this house this morning. Life is sometimes lived in up and down ways. If we get honest this morning, we would admit that there are times where we struggle to find balance in life. We struggle to find balance in our finances, balance in raising our children, balance in adjusting our time. And if we got really honest today, JT, sometimes we would admit that we live life up and down, up and down. One day on a mountaintop, the next day in a valley. And it's not just for those that do not know Jesus Christ, but that's also for those of us who have been in this thing for a long time too. And the fact of the matter is that sometimes life can become precarious. Life can get difficult for both the believer and the non-believer. And I stand here today and tell you that in the Bible there are absolutely people it mentions who did not receive their answer because they gave up too soon. And I would stand here and tell you that there are people that if they would have just held on a little bit longer, God would have changed everything and they would have found out that God is a faithful God. Amen? And there are people in this room today that sit here wondering, does God even hear my prayers? Does God see the tears that I cry in the midnight hour? And I would stand here and tell you, like David said, my tears have been my meat both day and night. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. And there is a joy that comes when we don't give up too soon. People can hurt you. People can walk in and out of your life and let you down. There can be people that you thought was family, people who were closer to you than your own family, who you made a decision in your life that they didn't agree with, and all of a sudden they're gone. They don't want anything to do with you. They walked away. People will let you down. People will offend you. People will upset you. People will promise you the moon, but can't deliver you anything, because that's just what people do. I've heard some say, well, if it weren't for people, I could serve the Lord. If somebody hadn't hurt me, I think that I could serve the Lord. But I tell you today, it is a good thing that our walk with God is not predicated on other people's actions, but it is predicated on the fact that God is a good God. And I stand here today in this auditorium to let somebody know that you can serve the Lord because He is faithful, not because man is faithful, but because God is faithful. You can serve the Lord because He always, Stephen, keeps His word. Not because man keeps his word, but because God will always keep His word, because He is not a man that He should lie. The fact of the matter is that if we get really honest today, people get on our nerves. You don't have to lie about it. You don't have to act like you're so holy and got so much Holy Ghost in you that people don't rub you the wrong way, because they do. I don't care how patient you are, people are annoying. Did you know that comprised in your body is roughly 45 miles worth of nerves and nerve endings? And isn't it amazing that there are 45 miles of nerves in your body, and some people find a way to run a marathon across every one of those 45 miles? It's crazy. But listen, I want to give you a simple proverb today, and I want to give you the key to serving God successfully today, and that is, come to church for the right reason. When we come to church, it's not about other people. It's that we are trying to say, God, I am in need of a move of Your Spirit in my life. And regardless of what anybody else does, regardless of what anybody else says, regardless of how they make me feel, I am going to be found in Your presence. I've often wondered, Brother Swalls, why do we give up? Why do we give up in business and ventures? And why do we give up on our marriages? And why do we give up on our families? And why do we give up on jobs? And the list goes on and on. It's never ending. And I've tried to narrow it down today about the danger of giving it up too soon. And there are many reasons why people give up. But the most destructive reason why we give up in life is that we allow bitterness to enter into our heart. And bitterness will cause you to quit your race every single time. The Bible describes bitterness as being as cruel as the grave. Bitterness comes because what you expected, what you hoped for, what you thought you were entitled to, never came to you. You didn't get it the way that you prayed for it. You didn't get it even though you fasted and you sought God and you paid your bills and you gave your offerings and you did it all right, and yet you're sitting in a sanctuary with 1,000 questions and no answers. And I'm standing here today to tell you, could it possibly be that you are just one more prayer away from God reaching you? Could it be that you're just one song service away from God reaching you? Could it be that you're just one fast away from your entire life changing in a moment? What am I saying? I'm telling you that there is a danger if we give up too soon. God does not fail. And if we're not careful, we will allow sin and hurt and hatred to derail us from ever getting back up. And living again, ever getting back up and loving again, ever getting back up and saying to somebody who hurt you, I forgive you. Ever getting back up and saying, hey, it's worth it to reconcile this relationship and make it better. I know I didn't do it right, and I know I didn't make decisions right, but it's worth it to not give up too soon. So I stand here today and I pose a question to you, sweet people of God. What would be worth missing out on all the joy that God wants to give you in this life? I'm not just talking about joy when we reach heaven, because there's going to be a lot of joy in heaven, but there can also be joy down here on this earth. There can be blessings in your home. There can be joy in your marriage. There can be happiness in your life. So I ask you today, what would cause you to walk away from all of that? Could it possibly be that God is operating supernaturally in your life? You say, but Landon, why would this God who loves me and claims to love me let me go through this storm? Why would he allow me to go through this trial? Why would he allow me to have a cancer diagnosis? Why would he allow my job to have let me go? Why would he allow me to be so far in debt that I can't even see the light at the end of the tunnel anymore? It's because there is something so special about when we come through our storms on the other side. There is something so precious about going through the fire and coming out on the other side purified and refined like gold. There's something about knowing that if I can get through this, I can get through anything. There's something about knowing that if this divorce didn't kill me, then I can be better. There's something about knowing that if I made it through all of that, then God can get me through anything else. In this life, you are going to go through storms. It is a fact of life, like death and taxes. It's going to happen. If it's not happened yet, I hate to break it to you, it's coming. It is coming. You're going to have moments in your life where the enemy makes you feel like throwing in the towel. You're going to ask yourself questions like, why do I come to church? Is it to just talk through the service? Is it just so I can look around? Is it just so I can check a box to make myself feel better this week? I want to tell you that if you come to this place for any other reason than to be in the presence of God, you are wasting your time, because you have got to hear what the Word of God is saying. If you want to be better, it will be through the Word of God. If you want to leave here stronger today, you have to hear the Word of God. When God does allow us to go through storms, it is meant for our good, even though it's difficult. But we have a hard time accepting that. I think about Joseph. Joseph is one of my favorite characters in our Bible, because Joseph was a dreamer. He loved to dream about the things of God. He loved to dream about his future. And I want everybody in this room to know that you have a future. It doesn't matter what your past has been. God has a future for you. You say, well, you don't know where I came from, or you don't know what I did. You're right, I don't know where you came from, and I don't know what you did. But what I do know is that 2,000 years ago, there was a man, a perfect man, a blameless man, a man who was God incarnate in flesh, who wrapped himself in flesh and was placed on a cross and was beaten and bruised and bloodied. So his blood could be poured out so that we could be washed and cleansed and have a chance at salvation. That's what I know. I'm telling you today that you need to forget about the things that are behind you and press forward and recognize that there is a future in front of you. As long as there is breath in your lungs, there is a future ahead of you. Joseph was hated, and dreamers always get hated. Dreamers always get talked about. It's the dreamer that says, I think that we can do this thing better than we've ever done it before. And dreamers are the ones who are criticized and ridiculed and scrutinized, because someone who's negative, who has never dared to dream, never dared to think that life can be any better, always content with just living in a rut, just content with living in mediocrity, they hate dreams. When the dreamer comes along and says, I think God has got something bigger, they say, are you crazy? Man, what are you smoking? What's going through your head? What's on your mind? But let me tell you something. If God has given you a dream, don't let anybody steal your dream away from you. You better hear this preacher on a Sunday morning. If God gave you a dream, then you had better follow after it. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Don't walk away. Because if God gave you a dream, He is faithful to fulfill that dream. Joseph was hated because he was a dreamer. His brothers were jealous of him, but Joseph did not let bitterness destroy him and steal away his dreams. It didn't matter how many tests he had to go through. It didn't matter how long he spent in a prison for a crime he did not commit. Joseph kept a hold of his dream. This is what Joseph had to say in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. After he'd gone through the pit, after he was sold into slavery, after he was falsely accused, after he was thrown in a prison cell, Joseph said in Genesis 50 and 20, "But as for you," speaking to his brothers, "you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." Let me tell you something. God never gives you a dream just for you. Your dream is not only for you, but it is for somebody else too. You're not living for yourself. This is not about me, myself, and I. This is about reaching somebody who's hopeless and saying there's hope. This is about reaching somebody on the edge and pulling them back. We read in the book of Ruth about a woman named Naomi. She started out in the first chapter of Ruth, leaving Bethlehem with her family because of a famine. The Bible says when Naomi left Bethlehem, they started their journey with her husband and her two sons. And the scripture says that the journey took them to a place called Moab. And when they got to Moab, those two boys found two girls and they got married. Those girls' names were Orpah and Ruth. But when they got to Moab somewhere along the way, ready to begin their new life and start this new chapter and go on this new journey together, things did not go the way that Naomi thought they were going to go. And no longer was life easy for Naomi. The Bible says she left Bethlehem full, but now she was empty. Because when she got to Moab, her husband died. And it hurt her and it brought her down and it destroyed her. And then scripture goes on to say about 10 years later in the same land, both of her sons also died. Now she has no husband. She has no sons. She was older in life. And the hand that she had been dealt was grievous. And she became bitter at God. She became bitter at her circumstance. And now she finds herself not wanting to be around anybody. And that's exactly what bitterness does. It will isolate you. It will keep you away from the people that love you. It will destroy you. Bitterness will always put you on an island by yourself. And there are people that will say, "I don't want to be around the church. I don't want to go around the church people." And that is exactly what the enemy of your soul wants to do. He wants to get you isolated where he can get you farther and farther away from the church and farther away from the voice of God, that still small voice that used to speak to you. And now you've strayed so far away in your bitterness and your anger and your hurt that his voice is no longer still and small, but it is dimmed and it is dull and you cannot hear him anymore. That's exactly what the enemy wants. But I stand here today in boldness and authority saying, when you feel that spirit coming on you, you need to get into the church. You need to get to the altar. You need to hear the word of God. You need to get around the people of God that love you, and you need to not be by yourself. Isolation will kill anything spiritual in your life. Naomi was wounded. Naomi was a good person. And isn't it ironic, Pastor, that Naomi's name meant joyful and cheerful one? Her own name meant joyful and cheerful. But now Naomi comes to a place where she doesn't want anybody around. Now she finds herself in a place where she's no longer joyful or cheerful. And so she looks at her two daughter-in-laws and basically says, you need to get away from me. You'd be better off to go away and start again somewhere else. But Ruth looked at Naomi and said, Naomi, I don't care what you say. I will not let you go. That daughter-in-law named Ruth said, no, I love you and you will not go through this by yourself. Oh my God, I wish there would be some Ruths that would stand up in this church today and look at people who are down and say, I know you don't want to be around anybody, but I'm not letting you go. I know you told me to get lost. You may have spoken mean to me. You may have hurt my feelings, but I'm not letting you go. Why is this important? Because there has got to be encouragers in the church. There's got to be some people who will stand up and give their seat up and say, you're not going to sit by yourself. Because it's not about me. It's about you. Naomi looked at them and said, get away from me. I am not cheerful anymore. I am not who you knew. Naomi was a good person, but even good people can get bitter. Do you hear me this morning? Even good, decent Christian people can get bitter. And Naomi was full of bitterness. She said, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, because God has dealt with me bitterly. And is it not interesting, Dusty, that the very name Mara, the name that Naomi placed on herself, means bitter? It means disenfranchised. Mara is an unpleasant name. Naomi recognized, I am not who I used to be. I am now bitter and I am now no longer present. I am no longer joyful. Hear me this morning. When you feel like that, you had better pray through. You had better ask somebody for forgiveness quickly. You had better forgive somebody quickly. You had better not exist too long in your rut, because it will destroy you and it will destroy your children. It will destroy future. It is a cancer to everything that you touch. I want to tell somebody on this Sunday morning, and I know I'm preaching strong, but I feel liberty in the Holy Ghost today. You have got to learn how to get over it. You had a bad marriage, you need to put it behind you and move on. You had a bad experience at your job, then get a new job and move on. But don't get bitter. Because at some point in this life, somebody you love, somebody who's close to you, somebody you admire, somebody you respect, somebody you hold to a high esteem is going to gut you of your enthusiasm. I'm trying to speak to you today where we really live. Some of you in this room have changed your name, and you are not the pleasant person that you once were. You are not joyful in your life. You used to walk into this building and you were the one with a smile on your face from ear to ear. You were the one holding the door with a bubbly personality. But life experiences came along and dulled you and dimmed you and desensitized you and have broken you down. And because of what you've had to live through, you're bitter and you don't smile. And so you sit on the pew and you leave as soon as you can. You don't want to talk to anybody. You don't hold the door anymore. You don't serve anymore. You don't socialize anymore. You have pulled away and reclused from everything and everyone. You look empty and you are barren. I'm trying to reach you this morning and tell you, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up, because there is a danger if you give up too soon. You need to keep coming to church. You need to keep singing your song. You need to keep praying your prayer. You need to keep dancing your dance. Why? Because it's dangerous if you quit too soon. Amen. Beautiful, intelligent, generous, kind people can get bitter. Nice on the outside, but angry and hurting on the inside. A facade that we see on the outside, but on the inside full of dead men's bones, because life has dealt with us grievously. The bitterness in Naomi sees the downside and the negativity in life. It's why Naomi would say in Ruth chapter 1, verse 11 and through 12 and 13, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, and go your way, for I am too old to have any husband. And if I should say I have hope, that if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, Orpha and Ruth, are you willing to wait and abstain and hold yourselves until those babies become grown men? No, my daughters, it grieves me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. In other words, Naomi was saying, I am a plague. I'm worthless. I have no value. You need to get away from me. There is nothing in my womb. I am an empty person. I am barren. I have nothing to offer to you. I come to church empty and I leave church empty. Everything in me is empty and dry and barren. There is nothing in me. And I wonder this morning how many under the sound of my voice feel the same way that Naomi felt. Life has hit you hard. Somebody else got what you deserved, and you worked harder for it. But they got it. They got the raise. They got the promotion. They got the advancement, and it should have been yours. But because it didn't come your way, you're hurting, and you're bare. Naomi looked at those young ladies and said, get away from me. But I like what it says in verses 14, 15, 16, and 17. And this is the crux of my message this morning. If you don't get anything else, you need to get a hold of this today. Verse 14 says, they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her mother-in-law. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You need to go with her. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you stay, I will stay. And your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything, but death parts you and me. Everybody in this church needs a Ruth in their life, because we are going to have weak moments. We're going to have moments that hit us hard. We're going to have moments that have us just scraping to get up and get by one more time. And we're going to need a Ruth that doesn't listen to our negativity, that doesn't listen to the pessimism that we spew out of our mouth, that doesn't listen to our hurt and doesn't listen to our whining and to our insults. Oh, I thank God today for a Ruth who knows we're hurting, knows that we're down, knows that we're struggling, knows that we don't mean it when we're saying things that are hurtful, because hurt people hurt people. And if this church is going to grow, we are going to have to get the spirit and the mentality of Ruth that says, I'm not leaving. I'm not walking away. We're in this thing together. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you say. You can call me every name in that old nasty book, but I'm not going to stop reaching for you. There has got to be a ministry of Ruth in the church. Amen. If you only love people who love you, you are going to miss it. If you can only love people and do good to those who love you and do good to you, you are missing it. Ruth was not an outsider, but she was a part of Naomi. She was married to her son. You see, Naomi's not the only person that lost somebody in this story. Yes, she lost her husband and she lost her boys, but Ruth lost her husband and lost her brother-in-law and lost her father-in-law. But one thing Ruth had was faith. That even though I'm walking through hell right now, even though I don't like the hand that I've been dealt, even though this is uncomfortable and this is painful, I am going to have enough faith in God that if he brought me here, he will take me to the next place. Ruth had faith, and faith without works is dead. She said to Naomi, entreat me not to leave or to return from following you. Because wherever you go, Naomi, I am going with you. She was saying to this mother-in-law who told her to get lost. She was saying to this mother-in-law who said, I don't want you in my life anymore. Ruth went on to say, wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you say, whoever are your people, whoever is your God, that's where I'm going to go. That's what I'm going to say. Those will be my people. That will be my God. And where you die, I'm dying with you. Because I'm not walking away. As the musicians come, there is a Ruth in this church that needs to rise up and look at bitter people and say, I love you anyway. I hate your guts. Well, I love you. I can't stand you. Well, I love you. I don't want you around. Well, I'm not going anywhere, and I love you. This is what the church needs in every area, in every age. We need people who will say, I don't care what you said about me. I'm going to have the ministry of Ruth. And what I am so happy to tell you today is there is a Ruth ministry in each and every person in this room. Ruth would not give up on Naomi. No. The Bible says, a friend loves at all times. Not just when it's convenient. Not when it makes sense. Not when they're doing right, living right, acting right. No. At all times. If I were to say, the Lone Ranger this morning, what would you think of? Tonto. That's right. Okay, so you get it. Go with me for a moment. Jake, if I were to say Batman, you would say Robin. That's right. If I were to say Michael Jordan, you might think of Scottie Pippen. If I were to say Cagney, for some of us in here, you would say Lacey. If I said Starsky, you might say Hutch. Thank you. What's the point? There has got to be a partnership here. Dusty, if I said Paul, you might say Silas. If I said Elijah, you might say Elisha. If I said Jesus, you might think of his disciples. If I said Paul again, you might think of Timothy. If I said Barnabas, you might think of Paul. Do you understand what I'm trying to say this morning? There has got to be a coexistence of people in our lives that we love enough that when we are weak, when we're down and we're despondent, and those times come for all of us, we got a Robin that's just going to pick Batman up. We got a Scottie Pippen that's going to say, MJ, I know you're not feeling good tonight, so I'm going to take a little bit extra on myself. Do you understand me this morning? If I say Jake Walden, you might say Matthew Marucci. If I say Landon Kirk, you might say Stephen Ross. If I said Abigail Harrell, you might say Catherine Gabriel. If I said Rebecca Sweat, you might say Candy Walden. If I said Annabeth Kirk, you might say Alexis Reyes. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you this morning? It doesn't matter what name I would have thrown out. Everyone in this church ought to be a Ruth that says to Naomi, I don't care how bitter you are. I don't care how frustrated you are. You're not by yourself and you're not alone. Stand with me all across this house this morning. I'm humble enough to say that I need a Ruth sometimes. Because I know even in my lowest moments, I was never really alone. My darkest hours were never truly that dark. Because I was ever alone. Do you hear me? You are not by yourself. You say, Landon, well, you told this story. What happened to Naomi? That's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. It's like it's in my notes. The Bible says that she went back to Bethlehem. She left full, and even though somewhere along the way she lost it all, she did not come home alone. She came back with a sidekick named Ruth. And Ruth is a champion in my book. Listen, if you will kill people with kindness long enough, you will win them over. You will. You keep loving them when they hate your stinking guts. Do good to them and pray for them which despitefully use you.
Yes.
Because that's what Ruth did. She said, I am not letting you go. You can say what you want. You can do what you want. You can call me every name you can think of. But Naomi, I'm not going anywhere. And if that spirit will ever get a hold of this church, if that spirit will get a hold of the people in this house, if everybody under the sound of my voice and listening on a podcast will get the spiritual mentality of Ruth, Athens, Georgia had better watch out. Because you're never going to let somebody sit alone again. You'll stand up and say, hey, no, we don't do this around here. You sit with me, or I'm going to sit with you. You're not going to be alone anymore. This is not something for some of us. This is something for all of us. They went back and Naomi said, after the dust of everything has settled, Naomi said to Ruth, you know, Ruth, my husband, somewhere in his family tree, there's this guy named Boaz. Now, don't judge him by his name. He's a sharp guy. And she said, you know, I think that he's available. You know, because church people love to hook other church people up. It's a thing. She said, you know, he's an eligible bachelor. And sure enough, as a little bit of time went by and an introduction was made, Ruth and Boaz got married. Well, Landon, what does this have to do with Naomi, who's bitter? Well, at this point in life, Naomi's not as bitter anymore. She's not bitter now. Ruth was winning her over because love overcomes darkness.
Yes.
It does. Naomi, because somebody loved her in the middle of a storm. Somebody loved her when she was mean and nasty and cold and dark. Naomi made it through to the other side, and she softened her heart. So Ruth and Boaz, they get married, and guess what happens? They have a baby. And all of a sudden, this little baby boy is brought to Naomi, and now she is in charge of the care for this baby. Why is this important? Because guess who the great-great-grandma Naomi became? Guess who she became the great-grandma of? A little boy named David. And in the lineage of Jesus Christ, guess whose name is mentioned? Naomi. You know why? Because she didn't give up too soon. She was about to. She was close. She was going to ring the bell. She was going to throw in the towel. She was done. But Ruth walked in her life and said, no, ma'am. Listen to me. When you are emotional, you will not make good decisions. When you are up and down, you will not make good decisions. That's why you need a Ruth who will take you by the hand and say, no, we're not going that way. That way is going to hurt you. We're going to go this way. I'll be the first to admit again, I need a Ruth in my life. I need somebody to tell me sometimes I'm going to be okay. I need somebody every now and then to whisper in my ear, we're going to get through this. I need somebody every now and then to say the best is ahead and not behind. I need somebody to say, Landon, we're going to be stronger than we've ever been. Why? Because I may have been close to cashing it all in. I may have been close to throwing in the towel until a Ruth walked in my life and pulled me out of the pit that I had fallen into. I ask you a question today. Who are you? Are you Mara? Or are you Ruth, who's going to speak life to somebody? Listen, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can speak life into somebody else. It doesn't matter if you're 85. It doesn't matter if you're 12. You can speak life and you can have the ministry of Ruth.
Yes, that's right. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.